Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Second Chronicles chapter 32. Now, some of you are here Wednesday night for our midweek in here. Did any of you do your homework and read this? I spilt this out to you. Yeah, some of you raised your hands and say, yeah, I read it. Yeah, you forgot? Surely there's room at the altar for you. It's all right. Second Chronicles chapter 32. And those of you who read in advance, I won't ask you, hey, what'd you get out of it and what'd you think? And did the Lord speak? You know, that's between you and the Lord, but I don't often do that, but I gave a little advance information, not about the message, really, just that this is the text I would preach from this morning. And there's a multiplicity of titles that could go for this message this morning, but I'll just tell you this, that it's going to share with you, with us, some principles that we can carry out when we face battles in our life. You ever face a battle? Yeah. You in one? Yeah. All right. Helps you prepare and how to win a war in your life. If I had to title this, it would probably be something along these lines. What to do when the enemy sets up camp outside your door. You know, throughout history, it's a little different now, but not entirely. You know, we have military bases all over the world, don't we? We have them in strategic places, don't we? Yeah. So what it's supposed to be is really an encampment. In other words, a home away from home. Not quite like home. And so what they did in biblical times, they did something similar. They were going to go make war somewhere with somebody, and they would set up an encampment. Well, what's happening here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 is Assyria, under King Sennacherib, if you want to say it with that accent, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was coming against God's people in Hezekiah and Judah. So I want you to follow along here, and I'm going to make some comments and highlight some things. You may want to take some notes, or in a few days this will be up on wherever it is, our website or YouTube, and you can pause and play and write notes, go back, listen, whatever it is, and let God add to what he gives you this morning. I want you to remember this. You say right now, maybe you don't feel like you're in a battle. You take this, because around the corner, we may have one in our life. Amen. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom and the rest of your life's going to be all terrible. That's not what I'm saying. But you can also bring life to others. And you don't have to wait, please hear this, you don't have to wait to prepare for battle when you see the enemy setting up camp outside your door. You don't have to wait till then. You and I can practice these things now in our life in preparation because, you know, we are supposed to endure like a good soldier the hardships of this life, and we are in a struggle, we are in a battle, right? So I want you to listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and camped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem, he planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city. And they helped him. A great many people were gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed from the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? I want you to pause here. We're going to do a little exposition, a little teaching as we go through this. We just read it. Hezekiah, leadership, rallied the people, stop the water from flowing down to the encampment of where Assyria is setting up to come and conquer our city and take over. Stop the flow of what nourishes them. I want you to take this principle now and apply it to your life. If there is something in our life that nourishes the enemy, brings strength to the enemy, we need to stop that. Our disobedience fuels the enemy. Our rebellion fuels the enemy. Our unfaithfulness, our lack of faith, living outside of God's instruction to us. It's a vast list, but all of those things give power to the enemy in our life and work against us. And because you and I know that when we are disobedient to God, we don't have a lot of confidence. We know that it seems that our prayers are hindered. We know in the depths of our mind and soul, I'm calling out on God, but I have not really repented. I'm not really obeying. I've removed myself from a measure of blessing because of my choices. And so therefore, we give power over to the enemy. Our disobedience, all of those things that we can list, they nourish the enemy and give him access. So if you're in a battle, you and I need to shore some things up. We need to maybe make some changes or step into greater faithfulness that we know we should have been doing or God spoke to us about or whatever attitude is going on in here. Unforgiveness, whatever it is, belittling something that says, it's not that big of a deal. And yet God has pointed it out to you, or you felt some measure of conviction for the Spirit in your life to remove that or not do that or participate or partake or whatever it is. I want you to look at that and say, I'm in a battle, or the enemy's camping outside my door. Where do I need to stop him being nourished by the things in my life? Where do I need to shut it down so that strength and opportunity do not flow out to the enemy who's encamped outside my door? It's a powerful principle from what they did. I've used this before when I've talked about the anointing and the oil symbolizes anointing many places in the scripture. I want you to remember this. Back in the Colosseum days when they would have somebody wrestle somebody else, before they would go out there, they would take oil and rub that wrestler down. Rub them down in oil and then go out and wrestle. And you know why that was? They were hard to hang on to. And if you, it's the same principle. If we stop up the things in our life that the enemy can take hold of, right? That's what we want to do. The Holy Spirit, His power in you, that anointing, the Holy Spirit, we stop up the things we know to stop up. The enemy has a difficult time laying his hands on you and taking hold of you. You're slippery. Yeah. You and I, we need to minimize the things and eliminate the things where the enemy can take hold of us. Those are decisions we make. It's the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's read on here what else they did. Verse 5, he set to work resolutely, powerful word, and built up all the wall. This is King Hezekiah and God's people. He set to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised towers upon it. And outside it, he built another wall. He strengthened the Milo in the city of David. It's a monument. He also made weapons, shields in abundance. Now, watch this. He repaired things that were broken. Now, when the wall's broken, it creates easier access for the enemy to breach the wall and take over the city. If you know where you are broken in life, or you're broke, I don't mean money, I mean you are broken. It's a weak point in our life. Maybe something happened in your history or in your past. Maybe it's the way you grew up. Maybe it's somewhere you got hurt. Maybe it's some guilt thing. Maybe it's something you did. You're broken somewhere. You've been damaged. I could say how many of us in this room are damaged goods. We should all be raising our hands. Sin has done that. But there are things in your life that have never been really repaired. Time went on, it never got resolved, and now you have, through time, grown in some way that you don't function completely right like you should or like God intended prior to whatever hurt you or damaged you. We prayed about it. We maybe went to a therapist about it, and we've done different things, and all of that effort is good, but only in the depths of your own heart and soul, when you are objective with the help of the Holy Spirit, peering in the light of God and saying, has it really been resolved? Has it really been restored? So you stop the flow of things that nourish the enemy or allow him to take hold of, and now you have to restore and repair the areas where you are broken. And where we're broken is where we're weak. If you are in a conflict, you go after somebody's weakness. That's what the enemy does for you, to you, us, to your kids, your friends. Look for an easy entry. I want to encourage you to stop the flow of things that nourish the enemy. And I want to encourage you to look at your life and say, this is where I'm still broken. This is where I'm still weak. And I need to repair that. Otherwise, the enemy has easier access. You will see that it goes on and it says that they built up weapons in abundance. Not, well, this is good enough. This will do. What's the Bible say? What are our weapons? What's your armor for? How much time and what is the depth of quality of our prayers with the Lord? Those are great deposits into our life, into our spiritual account. Knowing Him more, allowing His Spirit to thrive more. We sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Built up weapons in great abundance. It's amazing when the storm hits, right? And the enemy shows up, oh God, and you start praying. And you start praying. And you're losing sleep at night. You're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. And you're praying. How about some prayer banked up before the moment? Building up an abundance. Weapons. The fruit of God. Those characters of God's Spirit being manifested in our life prior to the battle. In abundance. I want you to think about this. Building up an abundance of weapons, an abundance of deposits of seeking the Lord in your account. It doesn't mean you don't have to pray at the time, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot less panic because you've been walking with Him and you've been being perfected and you've been repairing things in your broken soul that you can handle the pressure through the power of God because He's restoring you and you've allowed it and you've taken initiative and you've stopped disobedience. We've stopped compromise. We've stopped things in our life that the enemy could take hold of. See, this progression is a beautiful, beautiful plan and strategy for when the enemy encamps outside our life, our door. Look at this. This gets really good. Oh. So verse 6, he says, "And set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together to him in the square at the gate of the city and spoke encouragingly to them." Hezekiah gets them all together and says, "Come on over here. We've been doing this stuff, now come over here." He wants to talk to them. "Be strong and courageous," he tells them. "Do not be afraid." Say, "No fear."
No fear.
"Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him." Big group. Big army. "With him is an arm of flesh." With King Sennacherib, his strength is in the arm of flesh. Numbers. Coming against us. Watch. "With him is the arm of flesh. But with us," Hezekiah says to the people, "but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And we're going to walk through what we just read a little bit. No fear. Listen, it is a daunting thing when you start to compare yourself with your enemy. It can be very intimidating. Very intimidating. I want you to remember back in the book of Numbers, Moses sends out the 12 spies, right, to go check out the promised land, go check out Canaan, right? Do you remember this? If you haven't, you can look this up. Not right now, but you can look it up. November 13, he sends out the 12 spies, and of course, we know the two come back with a faith and good report. And the others, they come back with a report that says this: "We went over there, and they are like giants." They recognized that there were people there who were from the Anak. They were really tall. They identified the Nephilim, the offspring and bloodline of angels and humans. And they recognized and they looked at them and they said, "They are giants. They are very tall. Their cities are fortified. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight." They compared themselves with their enemy. And it was very intimidating to them. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read this to you. This is Jesus. And it's 9 through 13, but just just watch this. And Jesus, you know, he showed up. There was a man there who had an unclean spirit. He was a demoniac. He, you know, lived in the tombs. People were afraid. They wouldn't go over there. They land, they come up, and Jesus shows up, and this man possessed of demons who scared everyone and who had great strength. Jesus, he shows up, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out in a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Jesus says to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" The man replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Many demons in this man. Jesus replied to him, and basically gave permission. Watch this. The demon said, you're going to cast us out. Would you put us into that herd of pigs over on that hill over there? Would you let us go inhabit them? And Jesus gave them permission. Now, what does that say? He has all authority and power. When he says yes, it's yes. When he says no, it's no. When he gives permission, it's permissible. When he doesn't, it's not going to happen. Comparing yourself with your enemy, you have to remember who the king is that you worship and believe in. So when you get caught comparing yourself to your enemy, who looks many in number, looks strong, looks big, seems fortified, seems like they're gaining ground, do not be intimidated. Remember who you believe in and who you worship, and that it is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the Resurrected One, who conquered sin and death and hell. You remember those things. You see, the king came out and gave them words of encouragement. You know, it's an interesting thing about fear. Whether, you know, growing up as a kid, I'll just tell you, I got in fights. It wasn't a lot, but I got in enough fights in my childhood and youth. I was involved in what would be maybe classified as a fighting sport, competed in that. No, it wasn't cage fighting, so just relax. I'm just naturally busted up and, you know, ugly. Oh boy, you must have taken it to the face a lot. Wasn't that kind. It was interesting because you get caught up comparing who you are with somebody else. Kids that were bigger, faster, stronger, list goes on, right? So you get a little scared. Fear. But you know, Bill, in those scraps in the schoolyard or on the street or in my neighborhood, it was amazing when you drew first blood. This big kid who I'm afraid of bleeds. And I think I can take him now. This is, the odds are changing in my mind. It's amazing what happens when you stand your ground and you get a shot in and you realize, oh, there's a chance, right? It's with any kind of competition, really. You know, the Garmo, golf, he hits one in the woods. I go, I'm sorry, buddy. But now there's hope. I might win one hole. Right? You start to pray. You stop up the holes, and all of a sudden you start to see, hey, there's a resistance here. Honoring the Lord, and he's showing up. And now when I'm comparing myself, it doesn't matter how many, and it doesn't matter how big, because I've discovered something. The Lord can save by many or by few. Remember that scripture verse. It's not all about numbers. And it's not all about size. When it comes to our life and the battles we face, we do our part in faithfulness to God. And I tell you, he will show up. And he will do things on your behalf that you not even dare dream. He will do things beyond what you pray. And if you happen to get in the thick of the battle, he will stand with you. He does not take flight. But you and I better make sure that we carry out some of these principles that are given to us in God's Word. And remember, the weapons we war with are not of the flesh. Weapons we war with are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's who he is. That's who he is, and that's who he is for you. So we got to do our part in faith and faithfulness. After all, Paul writes, if God's for you, who can be against you? I don't mean that in a cocky sense, but if he's for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you that would conquer? The answer is no one. Listen, King Hezekiah, this is very important to remember, stop the flow, repair, build up the wall, no fear. We are in a spiritual battle, not an arm of the flesh. And it says that he spoke words and they took. Remember I had you say the word took? Say it again. Took. Took confidence from the words of the king. Let me ask you something. Who is your king? And he has spoken words to you. Our responsibility is to take his words like they took King Hezekiah's words. And it encouraged it. They took his words and it brought confidence. You and I will never be ready for any battle if you and I stray from being in his word. These words are for you and for me and for the church and for all who would come to him, that they would take confidence because their king has spoken to them. You face your battle, you better be in the Word. And it's good to bank it up before you get there, because you will remember things that you read before that you can go, oh, he said this. Oh, he said that. And all of a sudden, you start taking it, not just reading it, not just saying it out loud, not proclaiming it and pretending like you believe it. You actually take it. Put it in here. Believe it. Obey it. And your confidence in the Lord and against your enemy will rise. Because it is filled with the absolute truth coming from the one who is truth and has all authority and power. These principles that I'm laying out, And when I say I'm laying out, I'm bringing him to the forefront. He's the one who really laid him out, so I can't take credit for it. These principles, we should take these things and say, oh, that's mine. I'm taking that. That's mine. I'm doing this. And my confidence is in the Lord. The king's words. Who is your king? The king, the Lord of glory. You'll find that all over the scripture. His word is to bring confidence to your soul. Watch this, verse 13 through 16. And I'm almost done, so just to encourage you, not falsely, but honestly. Don't say uh-huh like you doubt me. 2 Chronicles 32, I got to go back to that verse. Watch this. Watch what the enemy does. He tries to be like God, but in a counterproductive way to attack you. Right? Watch this. Watch what the enemy does here in this chapter that they send out to King Hezekiah. He sends out like this. Verse 10 we'll start with. The king of Assyria then says, on what are you trusting that you can endure the siege that I am about to bring upon Jerusalem? Is not Hezekiah misleading you that he may give you over to die by famine and by thirst when he tells you the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? See, he's mocking. He's trying to bring doubt. The king of Assyria, the voice of the enemy, starts throwing questions at God's people. Words. Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods, little g, of their nations, of those lands, able to deliver them out of my hand? This is what King Sennacherib is saying to God's people. Who among all the gods of those nations that my fathers devoted to destruction were able to deliver the people from my hand? That your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion, and do not believe him. For no God of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servants still continue to bring more against God's people and against the Lord himself. They wrote letters in contempt and sent them to Israel. Oh, if the enemy could just bring questions and get you to look at their history and their winning record or who else they destroyed and then project upon you, you can't beat this. You won't win. Look at all the people who died from cancer. You think he's going to deliver you? You bring up any battle you want. You name it. Wherever the enemy has brought question to you and doubt to you, his words, how will you fight his words with the words that your king spoke? Satan came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, questioned Jesus, offered things to Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? With the words of his Father. Enemy twisting scripture, Jesus knew the pure truth and responded with the word. There's something there for you and I. His word. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy, and I will tell you this. Don't even spend time having conversation with him. Don't bother. He'll start raising questions, and next thing you know, he's appearing like a serpent in a tree telling you, oh, go ahead and eat it. Did God really tell you that? Oh, he told you that so that you don't become like him. Remember Genesis? How'd that turn out? The enemy will come to you with words, and sometimes even through well-meaning people. Oh, Lord, it can't be. You're not going to go die. Satan, get behind me. Remember Jesus? Peter coming, well-intended. Oh, Lord, certainly this cannot be. Not you, no. Don't go. We'll help. Satan, get behind me. You don't have in mind the things of God, but you have in mind the things of men. He will come at you with words. You remember the words of your king in your battle. Stand up, please. See? I didn't lie to you this time. But I got a couple more scriptures while you're standing. You listen to this. I want to remind you of something. If I were to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 20, this is really good. Listen to this. Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, in other words, God's people. So all God's people here, you listen. King Jehoshaphat prophesied and said, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde that is against you. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's. I want you to just roll back in your mind for a moment to David, a boy who was going to become king. David. And he took on a man named Goliath, big dude. From Anak bloodlines, Nephilim bloodlines, big, big dude. And they would come out and make threats every day, and this would go on. And David, as you know, went out with a sling and some stones. This is a powerful story, powerful historical account. I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. This is David speaking against the big giant who's come out with spear and sword and shield against the boy. And they came out and they spoke against God all the time. And David comes out and says, I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. That's what he says. In other words, my God, he will deliver us. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and not with spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. The battle belongs to the Lord, but it does not remove us from responsibilities to stand our place in faith. Okay? in the battle. You read the rest of 2 Samuel 32. I'll give you the spoiler. You know that God shows up and gives them victory, right? It's a spiritual battle. God sends an angel of the Lord into the encampment. This will blow your mind. This will mess up your theology. But God had the angel of the Lord kill people. They went running. Here's the great thing. King Sennacherib retreats with who's left. And he goes back home. And he shows up in the temple of his gods, little g. And his two sons kill him. Don't mess with the Most High. And the battle is his. And he's faithful to go out with you. You take courage, whatever you face. You go back and pick these things out and say, here's my plan. I got to shore up my life. I got to repair what's broken. I got to build up the weapons in great abundance. Don't get caught comparing myself to the enemy, because no fear. It's not by the arm of flesh, but it's by the Spirit. And I will be in His Word, and His Word will be in me so that I can take it with confidence. And the enemy will try to come with words, but I remember the word of my King. And the battle belongs to Him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.